And welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts, Chameleon, or Chris, and I have here with me my wonderful two co-hosts. I have Devin, or Darkness Tiger.
I don't know about wonderful, but I appreciate the sentiment. Hi.
And then I also have Mason, or of Rad Dreams Review.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing, fellas. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, but, you know.
Well, on my end, I actually was just reading about something that was very interesting and that might make you kind of sad, Chris.
What's that?
Do you remember that game, Conqueror's Bad Fur Day?
Oh, my God, I saw that. I'm depressed.
What happened with it?
Well, what had happened was there was a reason why we had never gotten a sequel. And when obviously we're getting, this isn't really a topic, it's kind of a conversation. Conqueror's Bad Fur Day was one, like a breakout smash hit of a game.
Yes.
It was it was like South Park before South Park was a video game.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the same like vein as like Leisure Suit Larry, you know?
I would say Conqueror's Bad Fur Day was funnier and worse.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, I haven't played that game since I was a youth, but I do vividly remember it because it was just, it sticks with you because of the content within.
Yes, it was the Ren and Stimpy of gaming.
Yeah, oh my God, that's such a good way to put it.
And a lot of people always wondered, why did Conqueror Bad Fur Day not get a sequel? And the voice actor of Conqueror basically said, well, you kind of have to thank Microsoft.
Why is that?
When Microsoft acquired Rare for $375 million, they bought Rare to appeal to a younger audience. And Conqueror's Bad Fur Day would not have appealed to a younger audience. Actually, that's not true. Conqueror's Bad Fur Day only appealed to a young audience.
All right. Here's the thing. So it did appeal to our audience, but we weren't supposed to play it.
No actual adult played Conqueror's Bad Fur Day. Only like 14-year-old kids played that, and we learned a lot of words.
Let me tell you, like, unless your parent knew about the ESRB system. Is that what it's called? Yeah. A leisure parent knew about that system. They had no idea. They was like, oh, it's just a cartoon game. Little did they know.
Well, whatchamacallit, apparently the voice actor for Conqueror said that if Microsoft ever approached them, he would be up to doing a sequel. So after this, let's at Phil Spencer. And we'll go from there. But I actually flew back in today from Brazil. And it's been a different day for me. I'm kind of tired. I'm kind of jet lagged because I actually had to hop right into work. In the gaming department realm, I haven't really been playing too much. I will say the more I play Assassin's Creed Valhalla, the more I get into it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is because I guess the initial Viking setting just didn't initially appeal to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm like learning and like following along with the stories and actually like listening to the conversations, I'm starting to appreciate it. And one of the first missions, because again, I'm not that far into it, you're tasked with like helping this Jarl take back over her city.
Oh, okay, cool.
But when you're helping her take back over her city, she kind of hints to you. She says, hey, I have three advisors. But there's no way my city can get taken over unless one of these three advisors helped.
Okay.
So
you
have to go on this kind of like mystery mission to figure out and like do some detective work. And I'm like, I love that kind of stuff.
That does sound really, really interesting, actually.
So I enjoyed it. But what's been going on with you guys?
You want to go first, Chris?
Let me think. So gaming wise, man, I've basically just I think I've just really just been playing COD. I won't lie to you. That's it. That's all.
Nothing wrong with a multi-billion-dollar game.
Right. I mean, if they would get like, so it does need better maps. Yeah, I mean, it's a good, it's a solid game, but it definitely needs better maps and needs to fix sniping. Sniping is so unbelievable.
Like, is it broke or?
It's just busted. You just like, you'll just walk up to somebody and they're like, hey, I'm going to hit you with the, hit you with one shot in the foot, the toe, it feels like.
And yeah.
You're just dead.
Holy shit.
I swear to God, it's the most annoying thing ever.
I've been seeing this thing on TikTok, and I think it has to do with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, but I'm willing to admit I could be wrong. Apparently, you can play as, like, props and, like, hide from other people. Is this Modern Warfare 2?
That was the last one. Okay. It's not this one, but I'm not sure if that's coming back.
Okay, because it seemed like, because I've been seeing a lot of this recently, and I'm like, oh, I guess this must be a part of Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. It was, I think it was Vanguard, maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks fun. I never got to play that mode, so I don't know what the hell it was. But yeah, the team's walking around trying to find people, and you can hide as a prop, and if they don't shoot you as the prop, then you're just trying to survive until the round's over or something. I don't remember. It's like hide and seek.
Like one guy, he was playing as a prop as like a arcade machine.
Yeah. Yep.
He went into this like arcade and just sat there next to the machines. And I'm like, that is really good. Until somebody just threw a grenade in at all the machines.
So it didn't really work out.
That's right. Hilarious.
What's been going on your end, Mason?
Not a whole lot of gaming, but definitely have been watching a lot of anime. So that's been really fun. Let me back up. My wife Jackie sent me like a clip on Instagram of something that happened in this English dub of an anime called Ghost Stories, and she didn't know whether or not if it was like legit. And so she sent it to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I own this. It's hilarious. It's great. And she's like, wait, what? Like, do they actually say this stuff in the show? I'm like, oh, yeah. The English dub is like no holds bar parody. Like, they just go off the rails. And she's just like, no way. And so we kind of binge watched the entire show of Ghost Stories, English dub, and had a good time with that. Y'all listening, if you've never checked it out, I highly recommend watching it. It's early 2000s anime and comedy. So the humor is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Juvenile.
Gotcha.
But it's still very funny. It's highly offensive, but in a good way. if that makes sense, like you know how with like Boondocks, like that's very offensive. Yeah. Like you know how Boondocks is like very offensive.
Boondocks is offensive. I think
what Boondocks are you talking about
is culturally relevant if you are a person of color, Mason.
I mean, you gotta argue it's pretty offensive.
It's pretty offensive for you,
Uncle Ruckus.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Uncle Ruckus, no relation.
How about this? I would say the comedy in Ghost Stories is more akin to like early Family Guy.
Okay.
All right.
That's maybe
very childish.
Like, yeah, but it is still humorous and funny. Like, they make a lot of jokes that were relevant at the time, like making fun of George Bush and. things of that nature. You know, it's early 2000s, so that was like the thing to do. And then we just got done watching a anime on Netflix called Romantic Killer. That was very, very funny, very good watch, very short watch. It was only 12 episodes, but
I said nice, very nice.
Oh, okay. But it was a romantic comedy, so that was a fun fun watch. But other than that, I can't really think of anything else of note other than like the anime viewing. Haven't really gotten a chance to game too much.
Fair. I actually, just to add to that, I also been watching this anime. It's called Kuroko's Basketball.
Hell yeah. That anime is amazing.
It's pretty damn good.
The super moves.
Oh my God. It reminds me of, I think it's called Haikyuu.
Yeah, Haikyuu.
The volleyball yep. one. Yep. That one was awesome. Oh man.
I've never seen Haikyuu, but I've heard good things. And speaking of sports anime, I've been watching a soccer, aka no, also known as football in Europe.
Blue Lock.
Blue Lock.
Yep, I want to check. I want to start that one next,
dude. It's so, dude. I hate soccer/football, but like that show is so hype. Like I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah, so I will say, if you like Kuroko's Basketball, you will love Haikyuu. I think Haikyuu is like actually strictly better.
Yeah,
it like at almost every facet of the way.
Nice,
but like it's Kuroko's is still fantastic.
Oh yeah, yeah,
in its own way.
It is like the fucking there's this. I don't know if you've gotten to this point, but there's a character who can do jump shots from one end of the court to the other.
Yep, stupid. He's busted.
I'm like, no, get the fuck out of here.
He said, "Well, what was it? My horoscope item will help me make this." I'm like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, I'm like, "Get out of here, dude."
Like Devin, he literally fields the ball like you know, like when you know, after someone scores in basketball, you have to like pass the ball in the bounds.
Yeah.
The dude passed it in bounds like not even like 5 feet. And this man just threw up a fucking three from downtown. And it was nothing but net. It was literally nothing but net.
Yeah. It was so ridiculous.
And he was just like, "You thought that was my range?" And then he's like, "This entire court is my range." And then he just throws up this crazy ass three. I was like, "Get the fuck out of here."
Yeah. That's funny. Dude, it's so nutty. But other shows that you should check out, Chainsaw Man, obviously. It's five episodes in and it is just straight fire. It's an amazing show, highly recommend. And then I got to get caught up on Bleach.
Me too. I watched the first episode and thought it was fantastic.
Oh, hell yeah.
I gotta watch more.
But other than that, there's been quite a bit of controversy as of late in the internet sphere, which will bring us into our first topic today.
Yeah, it's like a dumpster fire right now, honestly.
You want to bring us into this, Devin?
Oh yeah, but I love how Chris said, "Oh, it's a dumpster fire." That could be either or.
I mean, right now it's like a landfill on fire.
Yeah, but right now it's two landfills, and the two landfills that we are talking about today are the social media giant juggernauts, Twitter and Facebook. So let's talk about Twitter.
Yes.
The first thing we want to say is congratulations to Elon Musk. You are the official owner of Twitter. It is not going to be costing you $1.2 billion every year. When you bought it, he's going to turn it around. He's not going to make any single mistakes. Until one day later, where he basically announced that he was going to lay off what was initially reported as 75% of the staff, mm-hmm. but in actuality, it only ended up being 50%.
Yep.
Now, the problem with the Twitter story is that it changes so much.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track, honestly.
It's hard to keep track. Okay. So he fired 50% of the entire organization. 50%. Half your employees gone. Which makes you really wonder, okay, who is going to keep the lights on if you just fired? The ship is running with half people. The ship eventually is going to crash.
Yeah.
So
well done.
Elon, in his infinite wisdom, fired all the people, or half the people. He says, "We're going to save money. We're going to be profitable. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to be great, best company ever." And after they fired these people, some just an email, some a wide Zoom meeting, some found out when their accounts did not work and they just couldn't log in. literally one day later, Elon said, whoops, we didn't mean to fire all of you guys.
Right. And I also heard that he only gave some people like an hour notice to be like, yep. hey, I want my job back.
Yes.
Yep. So there's so what he didn't realize would happen when he does this. So there's this rule of thumb when you do a layoff. So when you do a layoff, you're expected to lose half of whatever you laid off. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you laid off 10% of your workforce, you're another 5% of your workforce is going to quit. So by him laying off 50, another 25 is just going to say, yo, peace. I don't need this. And so it's wild to me that he actually did this.
Yeah, it really is wild to me as well. And it seems it's being done indiscriminately, like almost as if it's random too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And to make Elon Musk's troubles a little bit more worse, California, where Twitter is headquartered, has a employment law on the books.
Yes, I am aware of this.
That basically says you cannot fire anyone unless you give them a 2-week notice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So
he did not do that.
He did not do that. And nope. Guess who got hit with a lawsuit?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk and Twitter. And so one of the things that Twitter wanted to do to become profitable was to institute a blue checkmark payment system.
Yes.
So again, Twitter has not really been a profitable company. It's much more on profit. But his idea initially, because again, the story changes, was if you want to get the blue check mark, it's going to be $20. Every person on Twitter wants the blue check mark will be $20. How does that sound?
Fuck that. No.
For some reason, I don't know what prompted Elon Musk to ask this or talk to this person, but Stephen King was just like, why the fuck would I pay $20?
Yeah. He ripped him. He's like, you're out of your fucking mind.
I saw when Stephen King said that, I was just like, good for you, dude.
And then Elon Musk backtracked so hard.
Yes, he did.
He responds, how does $8 sound?
Even then, like, what's not to get off on a tangent, but I'll just say this very briefly, is one of the biggest things that Elon Musk said in opposition to Twitter prior to buying it is that it was not a haven for free speech, right? So when he purchased it, he's just like, oh, yeah, free speech is now, you know, legal on Twitter. Comedy's legal on Twitter. It's going to be free for all. But then he institutes this hypocrisy of, oh, yeah, it's free if you're willing to pay for it. And it's just like, what?
Oh, yeah. We're getting into this story because it gets better.
Oh, yeah. We're just scratching the surface right now.
It gets better and it gets worse. So when it was announced that Elon Musk had bought Twitter, you would think that, okay, people are going to hop on Twitter to celebrate. People are going to move into a positive direction, free speech, la-di-da-di this, la-di-da-di that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think was the number one word when it was announced that Elon Musk had taken over and free speech was allowed?
N-word, obviously.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was the N-word.
Yes, the N-word shot all the way up, and for some reason...
Wasn't it like the usage was up like 5,000% or some shit like that? The usage
was up was 10,000%.
Yeah, like it was some obscene amount. Like all the fucking like racists and white supremacists were just like, yep, let's do it.
Yep, now I can finally say what I've been wanting to say. And
so and fucked up.
Elon Musk, he did say it is a haven for free speech, right?
Yep.
Guess who got banned?
Who?
1,600 accounts that use the N-word.
Good.
Good.
Burn.
And so people were very upset by this because they said, well, Elon, you said we could say whatever we want. And Elon is like, well, I mean, within restrictions. In terms
it depends. Conditions. It depends.
And so while he was doing the blue check mark thing, Congresswoman Ocasio Ocasio-Cortez, AOC for short, she tweeted, imagine being the richest man on the planet and asking each person on Twitter individually, would they give you $8? And obviously, Elon was not happy by this. He tweeted his retorts weren't very good. Nope. So as this was happening, the blue checkmark Twitter verification went live.
And yes.
This is a timeline, and this is really funny. So the blue checkmark verification went live. So if you paid $8, you get the blue checkmark that says you are the real authentic person. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On your Twitter account, you can change your name to whatever you want. Let's say you get married, you change your last name. Okay? But it will show your name as being blue checked verified.
Yes.
So you would think people would like go ahead, and now that they're verified, they would really narrow down the scope of the community and they would really try to be a better person, right?
No. This is Twitter. This is the internet. This is the internet. Like, come on. It's accessible.
So with Twitter being what Twitter is, a startling amount of people changed their names to Elon Musk.
Yep. I saw that.
And every one of them got banned.
And every single one who made a joke in a negative capacity about or towards Elon Musk was permabanned.
Yep. He threw them in the shadow realm.
Oh man.
Literally threw them into the shadow realm. One being the legendary comedian Kathy Griffin.
She did that?
Yes. She was the first person to do it. And Kathy Griffin, she is so savage that she went on to her mother's account and kept talking shit.
That's awesome.
And a lot of people have been banned because of this. And they've been tweeting out terrible things. Like, one person tweeted out that the reason Amber Heard left is because I have a weirdly shaped penis.
I saw that one. That was
good. That's hilarious.
And it was just, again, permabans across the board, right? So you can do free speech, as Mason mentioned. Comedy's back. But you can't make fun of Elon Musk. Right?
No.
So a new update to this. Though there's actually two more updates.
Yes.
So people being able to verify themselves on Twitter. Again, you would think that they would go ahead and use their powers for good, but they don't. People have been making fake accounts, specifically Nintendo.
Yep.
And have been tweeting some very not Nintendo friendly things. Like one account at Nintendo of US tweeted out a picture of Mario flicking off the user.
I saw that. I was like, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
And if anyone knows Nintendo, they do not like being impersonated.
No, they do not.
So as of right now, Nintendo has not responded. But Nintendo is going to respond if this account is not banned.
Yep.
I think that account did get banned.
Okay.
There was also someone did Valve.
Yep.
Wow.
They did.
Did they say Half-Life 3 is coming?
Let me see if I can find it.
That'd be funny if they did. God. But like the while you're looking for that, Chris, the one other update that we have in regards to the blue checkmark fiasco is Elon Musk thought would be a cool idea to institute a second check mark, but this time it's a gray check mark that says official under it. But then roughly, I think it was 1 hour after the launch, he was just like, nah.
But do you know why he did that?
No.
So what had happened was, as you mentioned out, Mason, if it had you could pay for a blue check mark, but on top of that, you could get an officially verified. Again, what would make sense What would make the sense of a blue check mark if you're officially verifying accounts? That was
one problem. You're so doubly verified.
People were questioning, like, why would I pay for a blue check mark if it doesn't give out officially verified anyway? So that was problem one. Problem two was, again, Elon Musk is a very vain person, right?
Mm-hmm. Very.
What do you think got the officially verified check marks?
I don't know, honestly.
People he liked. So mm-hmm. Kanye West got an officially verified check mark. Hillary Clinton did not.
So stupid.
The video game Destiny 2 got a officially verified check mark.
I saw and that.
Bungie did not.
Yeah, I was like, wait, that's the same place.
Anthony Bourdain, who has been dead for 4 years, got an officially verified check mark.
Wow. But,
like, Kotaku did not.
I found the Valve one, by the way.
What did the Valve one say?
So their name on Twitter is Valve SOTFWARE. And it like Valve's normal thing is Valve's software or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they just switched the F and the T. But so this says, we're excited to unveil Ricochet Neon Prime, our next competitive platform, this Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Can't wait to see you all on the grid. Like, these motherfuckers. It had a shit ton of likes and retweets. I was like, Jesus Christ.
And people will just believe anything on the internet.
This is the problem. This is the problem we're running into. Is that when you have officially verified, and anybody can be officially verified, you're going to get scammers.
Yep. There's so many people are just impersonating.
Literally. Imagine if you have somebody like a financial guru like Susie Orman or Dave Ramsey. Imagine if a person goes on there, makes up a parody account of one of those two, and then starts selling quote-unquote courses or say, hey, invest with my company for a low, low starting price.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is going to be rife with scammers.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to be hacked left and right.
Yep.
So let's move on to Dumpster Fire Part 2.
Yes. This is more so of a dumpster, I don't know. What do you think's worse, Twitter or this?
I want to say Twitter because I feel like Twitter is officially more culturally relevant than Facebook is now.
Yeah.
I would say so as well.
So Meta, formerly known as Facebook, has just announced a small layoff, just very small number, of only just a couple, like a little bit more than Twitter, but not by a whole lot. Twitter, I want to say they laid off around 3,000 employees, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is going to lay off only 11,000.
Yeah, 13% roughly.
13%. And the reason Facebook / Meta is laying off 13,000 people is because apparently this metaverse idea that they had turned out to be an expensive bust that nobody wants to use, that no one likes. And it is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Did you see how much of a bust?
How much in the financial billions of dollars did Facebook shovel into this fire pit?
It's a big old fat 15 billion with a B.
Now,
yep.
Real quick, what was the, just real quick, real, real quick. What do you guys think was the best game you ever played? Just like, that really showed off the power of a console. What do you think that was?
I mean, the first game for me that really did that was for the PlayStation 2 and obviously Final Fantasy X. Because that did push the envelope, honestly, for that console at the time. We hadn't seen anything like it before, and it just opened everybody's eyes to the power and capability of that console.
Well, in today's money, that would have been about, it had a budget of about $52 million, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So half a billion. Chris, what about you?
So, like, whenever I hear, like, what's, like, a crazy, graphically intense game, I think of Crysis.
Crysis
wasn't originally a console game, but it was a PC game, and it was always the meme, but can your system run Crysis?
Yeah, exactly. I remember that meme. Like, that... Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots also really pushed the PlayStation 3 to the envelope as well.
Well, Crysis cost $22 million to make. Final Fantasy, $52 million. So $72 million, and you get some absolutely amazing games across the board, right?
Yeah.
How the freak did Facebook spend $15 billion and create a game that looks worse than Animal Crossing 1?
Yeah. Honestly, like the graphics for the metaverse, the VR, or whatever the hell, it's I can't even think of anything to compare it to because it just looks that bad.
I mean, you can probably compare it to Second Life when it came out in like 2002.
Yeah.
But, so it's here's my thing. Like we all know what happened here. You have this billionaire who came up with the idea of Facebook and thinks he's smarter than everyone. And he's like, well, if I just throw a bunch of money at it, it'll eventually
succeed, work.
Right? Right? It has to work at some point, right?
Both the thoughts that Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg had, if I just throw enough money at it, it'll actually do it itself. But someone pointed out a very great thing to me. And they basically said it like this. Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are so disconnected from reality that they thought this would work.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that? It was those pictures of Mark Zuckerberg. He's like on vacation on like this boat, like at like an abandoned island or something. And he has like all this like sunscreen on and his face is just white, like because he caked on so much sunscreen, he literally looked like a mime. That man is so disconnected from like literally humanity, it's unbelievable.
He's part
robot, I swear.
And I said this to you guys earlier in a text message about Zuckerberg and Musk. It's that these two individuals, they are they're so insanely wealthy that I honestly don't think that either of them can really comprehend like the concept of money and what it means to like normal people.
Right.
Like these two guys that had these ideas, which we know now that they were pretty fucking bad, that they spent billions of dollars on and lost. Yeah. And they didn't take into account, oh, hey, you know, if this fails, it'll have real dire consequences to the people that, you know, work on these things. And I don't think that thought really crossed their minds because, like you said, Devin, they're both so divorced from reality that, you know, whatever their perception is, you know, what even if it is wrong, they believe it. You know, they are so convinced that they are right and they're the smartest dude in the room. You know, damn the consequences of their actions. They just do it anyways because they're just like, you know what? You know, I'm feeling a little whimsical right now. Let's just fucking do it and, you know, screw it.
When your own developers and programmers tell you, hey, this billion-dollar project we've spent $15 billion on, we really don't want to use it, maybe you should listen to the why they don't want to use it instead of saying, well, it's going to be mandatory and a part of your job.
Yeah, I remember reading about that with the metaverse where Zuckerberg made it a requirement for his employees to log in.
That's dumb.
Crazy.
Who is still using Facebook nowadays? Like, grow up.
I haven't had Facebook in like 10 years. I got rid of it. Long time ago.
I use it a lot for like work.
That's fair.
Yeah. If I could just have the marketplace without Facebook, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah. Although the marketplace can be a little toxic sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I only download Facebook when I'm really in the need to buy something.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times like I'll list something on the marketplace to sell and like people just laugh react at it. It's just like okay.
Yeah.
And
so real quick thought on all of this before we
yeah
yeah
so my like literally my thoughts and prayers go out to anyone that was affected by layoffs by.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do think they'll land on their feet, 100%.
Yeah, these are some of the best engineers in the industry, and both of these companies have lost some pretty good talent that, you know, Microsoft, Google, and everyone else will pick up. So I hope they find a spot to land on their feet soon.
Definitely.
All right. So let's move over to our next story. And what we have coming up is one of the biggest games of the year. Probably not the biggest game of the year. I think that distinction is going to be held by Elden Ring for the rest of the year.
Yep. But again, agree.
Yeah, it is what it is. A game we have been waiting for all year is finally reaching the shelves, finally on the consoles, and that is God of War Ragnarok.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Let's go. Is it out already, or is it coming out on the 11th?
The 11th, I thought.
It came out today.
Yeah, today's the 9th. It comes out today. Uh-oh. Today's the November release.
Oh, the 11th was Starfield's original release date, but it got delayed.
I don't know why I thought that the 11th was Ragnarok.
I am hella glad Starfield got delayed then, because there was no way it could have been ready.
Some good news about God of War Ragnarok, which we kind of already figured, was that it has been it's been receiving 10 out of 10s across the board, more or less.
Yep.
Well, there was one place that did not believe it deserved a 10.
Well, that was funny as fuck.
Was that the Korean IGN?
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, it's okay.
I give it a shrug out of 10.
The Korean IGN was just like, don't let those other publishers lie to you. Like, this game is average at best.
It's like, what are you talking?
You know, it would be really funny if it actually was just average at best. And the Korean IGN just is like, yeah, we told you.
But you know what's really funny? Now that I'm a part of the PlayStation ecosystem, I have to say this. Most of these games are not as good as you're being told.
Mm.
Like, I would agree with that.
It's mostly just hype from people who are just hyping it up to hype it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was under the assumption that Stray, Gran Turismo, and the original God of War were going to be these amazing, like, 10 out of 10 experiences. No, they're just okay.
I would say I loved God of War, the 2018 one. I thought it was fantastic. I did not like Horizon Zero Dawn. It wasn't for me. I don't know what it was, but it didn't feel good. And so, like, I felt like that was one that, like, was very hyped to me, because if I were to rate that game, I'd give it like a 6.5, 7 out of 10. It wouldn't get any further than that.
That's sacrilege, Chris. You can't say that.
It's not, because they would make you think it's like a 9 or a 10 out of 10, but I don't see it. I've tried to give this game a chance. I truly did. I just was like, I can't do this. I can't beat this game. I actually just gave up on it.
But it makes you wonder. It does make you wonder if everyone says a game is a 10 out of 10 and it's average at best, do we mentally perceive it as being, it's actually just a good game, just not for me? Or if everybody takes an amazing game and says, this game is atrocious, like it's a 1 out of 10, do we make a good game actually be bad based off other people's opinions on it?
I think there are a lot of people that are swayed in that way. Mm-hmm. Because that's very like psychological. Because you have like herd followers is what I'll call them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
And so like if you have this whole group of people telling you this game's bad, people will form an opinion of it without even ever actually playing it themselves.
Right. And then those people will be on Twitter talking about you and all of your comments and DMs.
they can sure as hell try. Bring it at me, bro. At Chameleon Games, bro.
Don't do that. You're going to have to get spotted. But let's move over to a weird story. Now, when we're talking about the metaverse, one of the key things of accessing the metaverse is you need to kind of have a VR headset in which to do it.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, we talked about PlayStation recently announcing their VR headset being like $549. So not very cheap. Now, the reason people are really getting into VR is because of the immersive ability of it all, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, did you guys, like, you guys might be able to take the lead on this because you guys know a little bit more about this than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Sword Art Online.
Yes.
Yeah.
The first 12 episodes of that anime are
fantastic.
Straight fire. Great 100%. Great fucking first half, but then the rest of it is just garbage.
They fumbled. They fumbled.
They bungled. They did all sorts of things. Like, that show has one of the best first episodes that I've seen in an anime, with the exception of like the original, like Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the reason we're talking about Sword Art Online is because on November 6th, 2022, it was the anniversary. Or not really anniversary, but it's the release date in the anime Sword Art Online of the video game, Sword Art Online, where, you know, in the game you famously put on a VR headset, then you get stuck in the game virtually. And plot twist, if you die in the game, you die in real life. Yep. And so... what does the founder of Oculus do? The founder of Oculus claims that he has made a VR headset that will actually kill you if you die in a game. And he releases it on, you know, that date in which the headset comes out in the anime. So I thought that was kind of a little tongue-in-cheek. I mean, who knows if it's real? That if the Oculus creator did actually make this thing.
He said it's real. He said that he's actually, because what's in the VR headset, it's like this detonation device that'll actually explode your head.
He said,
I took this from a different project, which makes me wonder, what were you doing with this different, what was the other project?
Right. It makes me scratch my head. Like, what were you doing, huh?
Why did you have just bombs laying around your house?
Yeah, for real.
He took it from his other project. He says, yep, I made just one. I love the comment. He said, I have not tried it yet.
You know why? Because bugs.
Yeah.
Because that's a real thing. Because if something in that software triggers wrong because he wrote a buggy file and it causes... to hit that line of code where the machine's going to pop his head, well, then it could pop his head without him dying. He is absolutely terrified of bugs.
Literally, that was it. He was just like, I mean, I want to use it, but like, I don't trust the software enough for it to not kill me at the wrong point.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I can guarantee you he will never try it.
He's
curious. I know, because he's probably has that creator mind where he's like, I know this works. I'm curious. And he might want to do it, but I don't think he ever actually will.
I think once he reaches that point in his life where he's like ready to die, when he's like old and gray, you know, maybe he'll put on the VR headset and be like, all right, it's time.
This is the end.
Let's just say you guys were, I guess, on death row and you're about to be executed.
Yeah.
And they said, all right, you can either choose like the lethal injection, the electric chair, or the VR headset.
I'll do the VR headset.
VR headset, baby.
Yeah. Like, if I'm on death row already, like, fuck it.
Let me play this game till I die.
For real.
The game being Elden Ring.
Well, that won't last long.
And the boss you have to fight is Melania.
Yep.
That won't be long at all.
The key is, if you can make it through that boss fight without dying, you get to live.
Oh. Do I get to practice beforehand, though?
Not on the VR headset. You can practice on the console. Because you don't want to practice on the VR headset, Mason.
No, hell no. That boss took me, I think it was like 3 days to beat.
My God. You would have been dead instantly.
Yeah, no, for real. Like that boss and like the final boss of Elden Ring took me quite a while to surpass.
Well, I'm going to let you guys ponder on that question, whether you would do the VR headset for your death penalty punishment. I'm going to walk over to a story that pissed me off to a highest order. And
yeah, I know this one really kind of grinds your gears.
But weirdly enough, we have not talked about EA Electronic Arts in a bit of time. They've been
it's been a long time.
Anthem, they kind of like got quiet.
After the failure of Battlefield, they shut their mouths.
Yep. And
they've been kind of working hard at work. Now, the announcement I was expecting to get from EA was not the announcement that I got from EA. Now, as you guys know, one of my biggest things, I am a racing game stan. You cannot beat me. You will never beat me. That is what I do. That is what I'm good at. And I am a firm believer in leading the charge that there are not enough racing games out there. We're being limited day by day. So not too long ago, EA actually ended up buying Codemasters. Now, when Codemasters was bought, it owned the rights to the Dirt series and as well as the F1 games. Dirt series, good game. I did a review here on the podcast. You can actually check that out in one of the episodes. And I said it was perfectly fine, just slightly above average, nothing to write home about. However, I did not say it was a series that needed to be canceled. EA apparently took that review and they ran with it. Not only did they cancel the Dirt Racing games, they also canceled the Project Cars series, which when it first started was very simulated racing, something that, again, is very rare for consoles. The third Project Cars 3, was arcadey, and that was one people didn't like because they tried to appease to a larger fan base. EA decided to cancel two of those projects, and the reason being is that they want socially led games with long-term live services. So they want games with service, and there's only one racing game that EA currently has. That is Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
EA canceled quite a few of their racing games just so Need for Speed can live on, which I'm not mad at that. But, yo, Need for Speed hasn't been good in a very long time. Like, people are not clamoring, hoping, and hopping around to see the new Need for Speed. I do, because I'm that guy. But
you're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a Need for Speed stan. But EA, you wanted to cancel additional projects for no real reason. It's just kind of weird to me. It seems like they're consolidating down from a very expansive catalog list to a very narrow scope. What's the point in purchasing studios if you're going to close them down and cancel the projects immediately? I don't understand that.
They don't understand that, to be real with you. That means they didn't have a plan.
No. I know we focus a lot on Activision Blizzard and their terrible management here, but don't get it twisted. At one point, EA was the most hated game company.
Yes. Oh, it was, without a doubt.
Even before Activision Blizzard, like, EA was definitely that kid on the block where you just wanted to beat up.
Yeah, EA is getting back to that point.
They think about their fumbling of Madden and those other sports games. They've released the same thing every year.
But people buy, and that's the problem.
And you know what's funny? They buy it, and then they're mad about it. And it cracks me up. I'm just like, well, like, when I noticed what they started doing, I just stopped buying the game. You know, I was like, I'll be vocal with my wallet. I'm not buying your game until you fix it.
Absolutely. And they
I'm right there with you in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, EA, I hate to say it, but F you. So let's move over to a game that has not yet been canceled.
Yes.
That has to do with Sonic Frontiers. Do you have this story for us, y'all?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, for the first time in a long time, Sonic is out. I don't know if it's actually out yet, but
it came out yesterday.
Perfect. Sonic is out and it doesn't suck. Yeah, Holy shit.
First time in a long time, we have a legitimate Sonic game that is not like a remaster, remake, whatever. Like, because I think the last one was, what was it? Sonic Origins, I want to say. That was like a remake slash remaster.
I need to play it.
It had a really, really cool opening sequence at the beginning where it was very like anime inspired. But yeah. Sonic Origins was a remaster of the first four games. And then before that, we had the really, really shitty game called Sonic Forces. And then even before that, we had Sonic at the Olympic Games. But that's not like a full-fledged like Sonic game.
Spinoff, yeah.
Yeah, like we've had a lot of Sonic spinoff games, but like for all intents and purposes, Sonic Frontier is the first like mainline Sonic game that we've had since probably what, Adventure Battle 2 that hasn't sucked?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like I'm looking at the Metacritic on it. The critics gave it 72 out of 100.
Which is not bad.
Nope.
It's average.
And the users, 8.9 out of 10.
Wow. That's actually really cool.
Yeah. So the users absolutely love it.
That's good. That's good to hear.
So, yeah, if you're not a harsh critic of the game, I've heard it's fun. It's not a complete open world game because they said it would be really bad if it was.
Mm-hmm.
But... Whatever the hell it's doing a fantastic job of welcome back to the line, Sonic.
How I'm viewing the Sonic Frontier game is very similar to how I view Pokemon Legends Arceus, because Sonic has been trying to shake up their formula just as Pokemon has, and with Arceus that was a quote unquote open world game when in actuality it wasn't. And same goes for the Sonic Frontiers. Like it heralds itself as a open world game, but is not technically open world. But what both Arceus and Sonic Frontier do is they introduce a lot of cool concepts and a lot of different formulas that mesh really well with the fan base. And I think both games serve as a very good building block for, future games, like with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, that builds upon Arceus. So I'm thinking, since Sonic Frontiers is being received well, maybe the next game after this will just kind of buttress itself on it, expand on it, build on it.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen as well.
Good for you, Sega. Good for you.
I know we're not really talking Pokemon, but real quick note, Pokemon Company, if you hear me out there, please, please, please allow Pokemon to be played through to completion with a friend. That's all I'm asking. That's it. That's all I'm asking.
That would be cool. Because I know Scarlet and Violet does have multiplayer, but I don't know if you can play throughout the entire game with a buddy.
Yes. Mason, me and you, I'd be in. I'd be like, all right, bro, we're loading this shit up.
Dude, I would do that so fast.
Dude, it'd be so fun.
That would just wreck people.
Right. Get a broke-ass team going.
Yep. Yeah, it would have to be done like double battle, right? So you would you would control one guy, I would control another guy, and then you and I have to face like the AI. And it's like turns. Like you have a turn, I have a turn, they have a turn. Yep. The other dude has a turn.
Yep, absolutely.
Like that would be very cool.
Yeah, the only thing that would be like weird to get that to work would be what about catching the Pokemon?
But
we can figure that out when we get there.
Yeah, exactly.
But think about a Pokemon company. Get in on it.
Yes. and then our last story is more so, this is a rumor, correct?
No, this is real.
Or is this real? This is confirmed?
This is 100% confirmed.
Awesome. All right, well then I'll leave this to you, Chris, since you are the biggest fan of this franchise.
Yes. Netflix posted this on Twitter. So I'll just read the post. Gears of War was released 16 years ago today, and this was November 7th. And to mark the occasion, Netflix has partnered with the Coalition to adapt the Gears of War video game saga into a live-action feature film, followed by an adult animated series, with the potential for more stories to follow. So what I have been wanting for years and years and years to see Gears of War on the big screen, not in game form.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, it is coming. So I have a question out to you guys. If we look at Marcus, Dom, Carmine, and Baird, who do you think we should cast as those roles?
I'm going to say this right now. No Chris Pratt.
Yeah, no Chris Pratt.
Devin, you guys saw that tweet I sent you.
Yeah, I absolutely did. It was the funniest thing I read all day, and I was right. I swear to God, if Chris Pratt or Ryan Reynolds is anywhere near this film, I'm going to scream.
I'm going to be actually pretty mad.
I will cancel my Netflix subscription. Mm.
Do you want to give me
short list?
How about we just do Marcus Fenix? We both say who we choose for Marcus Fenix. Just go down the list.
Okay. So for Marcus Fenix, I actually wouldn't be opposed. So I've got three actors in mind, right? My first choice would definitely be, I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head because it's been a long time since I've seen it. Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman would be pretty interesting for Marcus. That's my first choice. He played Hellboy. I think he would suit that role very well. He's got the physique. He's got the facial structure. Definitely would serve well. He's got the voice, the gravel, you know. Other than that, I would say John Barenthal, who plays the Punisher, wouldn't be a bad choice for Marcus Fenix. And then my last choice for Marcus would be Bautista.
Okay. Yep.
That's who I was going to say for Marcus Fenix, Dave Bautista, hands down.
Okay. But those would be like my three big ones for Marcus.
And then I 100%, I just fucked this up, but I'm going to just make this right. What about Coltrane, baby?
Coltrane. Ooh. you know what? Who would be a good Coltrane? Oh my God. I'm really bad with freaking celebrity names right now. Yeah, Terry Crews, 100%.
So I would normally agree with you, but the voice actor for Coltrane actually is the embodiment of Coltrane.
Is he really?
Lester Speight, Speight.
Oh, yeah, he's a big dude.
He is
Coltrane, Chris.
But he voices Coltrane. Yep. And it would be perfect. he's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
All right.
And so my pick for Marcus is Dave Bautista.
Okay.
Right, so who else you got? Who else? What other?
I would say the next one we should probably do would be Baird, because he's probably like the next quote unquote like iconic character. Yeah.
So you guys are laughing. Ooh, I think this should be. But go ahead, you guys first.
I'm going to take a guess as to who you're going to pick. I'm going to say that you are going to pick, what's his name? I'm so bad with celebrity names. Charlie Day.
That's a good one.
For Baird?
Yeah.
Wow, I absolutely would have given Charlie Day for a Carmine. All right, well, that's different. Yeah, I would not give Baird that. I probably should give Baird to Matthew McConaughey.
Okay.
That's fair. Because
what was Carmine, the comedic one?
Carmine was the one that always died.
Just dead. Dead.
Yeah, then Carmine would be like Charlie Day or like fucking Ryan Reynolds or some shit.
Not yeah. Ryan Reynolds. I will cancel my Netflix.
So, who I think should be Baird? Fucking John Cena.
John Cena would be a good gift. Honestly,
John Cena would fit well within the Gears of War universe.
Yep.
But I think the most important one is who is getting Dom.
Dom is imperative. This was a hard one.
Yeah.
I know off the top of my head who I want. I just got to find his name. because he's been in a lot of different things. And I think that he actually does.
You know who wouldn't be bad as Dom would be the actor who plays in The Boys.
The British one?
Yeah.
Wait. As Dom?
Carl Urban. He plays Billy Butcher.
No way. I get where you're going for, but I would expect to see someone like, I don't know, Hispanic.
Right? I was thinking of Michael Pena, who you saw in Chips, End of Watch, Ant-Man.
Okay.
I think he's got that range to be.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that too.
What about the guy who played Tuco Salamanca from Breaking Bad?
I never saw Breaking Bad.
I didn't know.
What?
I saw the first episode and was like, this show sucks.
What?
Sorry.
Wow. Shots fired.
Ain't it?
Yeah, the actor who plays him is Raymond Cruz.
Raymond Cruz.
Ah, okay. Yep, I recognize his face.
But he's a pretty good actor.
There's this one guy. I can't think of his name. I just see his face. Oh wait, it was Michael Pena. Never mind.
That
I think he would be the perfect yep. perfect film.
I agree. See it again. Yep, that's him. That's who we want. Cool. Then Carmine is
Charlie Day. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, I can see that.
Ah! Oh my god, you scared me.
What happened?
So
you have ghosts, Chris.
Yeah, it's called The Ghost of Victoria's Past.
Also, real quick, for Baird, I'm also willing to put down Jensen Ackles.
I respect that as well. I like Jensen. I think he's a good actor. Doesn't get cast in a lot of stuff.
Well, he's in The Boys.
Yeah, which I was happy about that because he was kind of typecasted with Supernatural, unfortunately.
That is very true. Everybody who was part of that show got typecasted, but hell, they made their money while doing it.
Yeah, exactly. They made their money. They're sitting on their millions. So, hey, good for them.
All right.
Well, speaking of Supernatural, before we conclude, I saw a really funny comment about Supernatural. It was just like, Supernatural is basically like a live action anime.
It really is. That goes on for way too long.
Because there's so much ridiculousness, and there's like a lot of the characters are just like, you know how in anime you have a lot of like attractive characters, and like in Supernatural, like every single male in that show is like hyper attractive, and if there's like one that's not hyper attractive, you're like, yo, that a demon.
That's so funny.
So stupid.
I don't know what it is. Like, the CW in general, I don't know what it is about the CW. It's just like they always cast like hyper attractive like male leads, and it's just
would you watch a show without a hyper attractive male lead on the CW though?
I mean, probably not.
Okay then. And just like an anime and Supernatural, every major female character eventually dies. So
yeah, exactly.
Basically.
So unfortunately, guys, we are out of time here. But thank you all so much for joining us here at the Uninformed Gamers page. If you like what we do, be sure to give us a like or a share or a subscribe wherever you may listen to podcasts. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and several others whose names elude me because I'm still covering from jet lag. But if you'd like to leave a comment, you can message us on Twitter at Uninformed Gamers. And if you want to play with me, Darkness Tiger, directly, you can reach me on Xbox at Darkness Tiger or on the PlayStation Network at Darkness Tiger 2. All right. Well, again, we really need and appreciate all of your comments. We always love it. All right, guys, go ahead and give your sign-offs.
All right. I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games. Yeah, it's basically the best place to catch me. And I also do streaming sometimes on Twitch at twitch.tv/iChameleonEye.
And I have been Mason, also known as Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review. And you can definitely check me out on my YouTube, Rad Dreams Review, as well as Twitter and Twitch at Rad_Dreams. Although I will most likely be leaving Twitter if it doesn't change.
Samesies.
Ain't that the truth? All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Later.
Peace.